Fairly? I tried asking people about pain, but nobody knew what real pain was. The majority of people in the world live without feeling much pain, at least not on a daily basis. When this finally hit me, I just entered junior school at the time. It made me so sad. I couldn't stop crying. Why me? Why did I have to be the one to bear such a terrible burden? I wanted to die then and there. But at the same time, another thought came to me. This could not go on forever. One morning, I would wake up, and the pain would have disappeared, suddenly with no explanation, and a whole new and peaceful life without pain would open up for me. It was not a thought in which I had much faith, however. And so, I revealed these thoughts to my sister. I told her that I didn't want to go on living in such pain. What was I to do? After she thought about it for a while, she said this: "There is definitely something wrong with you, I'm sure. But I don't know what it is, and I don't know what you should do about it. I don't have the power yet to make such judgments. All I know is that you should at least wait until you're 20. Bear it until you turn 20, and then make your decision. That would be the best thing." This was how I decided to go on living until I was 20. But no matter how much time went by, the situation did not improve. Far from it. The pain became even more intense. This taught me only one thing. As the body develops, the volume of pain increases proportionately. I endured the pain, however, for 8 years. I went on living all that time, trying to see the good side of life. I didn't complain to anyone. I strove to keep smiling, even when the pain was at its worst. I disciplined myself always to present an exterior of calm when the pain was so intense that I could hardly stand. Crying and complaining could not reduce the pain. It could only make me more miserable than before. As a result of my efforts, people loved me. They saw me as a quiet, good-natured girl. I won the confidence of grown-ups and the friendship of people my own age. I might have had a perfect life, a perfect adolescence, if it hadn't been for the pain. But it was always there. It was like my shadow. If I forgot about it for an instant, the pain would attack yet another part of my body. In college, I found a boyfriend, and in the summer of my first year, I lost my virginity. Even this, as I could have predicted, gave me only pain. An experienced girlfriend of mine assured me that it would stop hurting when I got used to it. But it never did. Whenever I slept with him, the pain would bring tears to my eyes. One day, I told my boyfriend that I didn't want to have sex anymore. I told him, "I love you, but I never want to experience this pain again." He said he'd never heard anything so ridiculous. "You've got an emotional problem," he said. "Just relax and it'll stop hurting. It'll even feel good. Everybody else does it, so you can too. You're just not trying hard enough. You're babying yourself. You're using this pain thing to cover up your problems. Stop complaining. It won't do you any good." When I heard this, after all I had endured over the years, I exploded. "What do you know about pain?" I shouted at him. "The pain I feel is no ordinary pain. I know what pain is like. I've had them all. When I say something hurts, it really hurts." I tried to explain by listing every single pain I had ever experienced, but he didn't understand a thing. It's impossible to understand real pain unless you've experienced it yourself. So that was the end of our relationship. My 20th birthday came soon after that. For 20 long years, I had endured the pain, hoping there would be some turning point, but it had never happened. I felt utterly defeated. I wished I had died sooner. My long detour had only protracted the pain.
At this point, Krita Kano took a single deep breath. On the table in front of her sat the dish with eggshells and her empty coffee cup. On her lap lay the handkerchief that she had folded with such care. As if recalling the time, she glanced at the clock on the shelf.
"I'm very sorry,"
she said in a dry little voice.
"I hadn't intended to talk so long. I've taken far too much of your time as it is. I won't impose on you any longer. I don't know how to apologize for having bored you at such length."
She grasped the strap of her white patent leather bag and stood up from the sofa. This caught me off guard. "Just a minute, please," I said, flustered. I didn't want her to end her story in the middle. If you're worried about taking my time, then don't worry. I'm free all afternoon.